Time now, 9:45, and we are joined by the Minister of Health in the Western Cape, Dr. Noma French Mbombo. Thank you very much for your time. I know it's hectic, so good to have you on the show.
Good morning, Kino. Good morning, listeners.
Great. Now, Minister, we've had there's so many things to talk about here. Obviously, the President made the announcement that testing is going to be ramped up. He spoke about getting 10,000 volunteers out there doing this. How's the Western Cape affected by that? How are we going to be part of that ramping up of testing?
Yes, thank you. First of all, we must also know that why are we testing? Because we don't want to test and then people ended up not having the follow-up care. Because that is crucial. But we welcome the announcement. In the Western Cape, actually, we're step ahead in terms of the ramping our testing in the existing health facilities. Sometime later today, we will make an announcement so that we can be able to know where to test when it's an indication to test. Because we don't want to say we're all going to come to, let's say, Khayelitsha community with a mobile, and then we find that the staff are not ready yet. Because remember, this is a new virus disease, which is everyone, there's a stigma attached. Everyone is scared of it. So you don't want to make such announcements without necessarily ensuring that the resources are there. But because there are existing positive cases, we do have an obligation that we have to contact trace the contact, and also to make it open for anyone who might feel like that they are presenting the symptoms or they might have been exposed to a positive person so that that person can be able to test.
We look at those worrying cases. Every case is worrying. But when we look at the high density areas, it's a discussion we had with the Premier and with the Housing Minister yesterday. I think a key question here is the self-isolation facilities, very important since we've got these particular cases. How exactly are these set up? How many do we have, and how exactly are they set up? For example, how many beds, and is it properly isolated?
Oh, okay. Previously, for the Western Cape, initially, most of our cases were imported cases from international travelers. But now we have, I think it's a 30 or 40%, I cannot recall the figures, of the cases that are imported. There are local transmissions. Mm-hmm. So the initial phase, it was easier for the tourist or a person who is South African but is an international traveler who already has own space, who can do self-isolation. It was easier. Now that we have seen that we've got cases also from the Cape Flats and the township, we do know that that is impossible. So this, firstly, the isolation of the positive case, that's the most important thing. If they are infectious, of course, the first place will be the hospital, which is, I did share in terms of the Tigerberg, for example, yes, where people can go for their self-isolation if they are positive. We already have places where people can isolate without necessarily being positive in order to accommodate the communities where they cannot be able to. And then two, we have also the quarantine facilities where people can be able for the families to contact the close contacts of a positive one. Mm. Now, you're asking where are they?
I think more importantly, I mean, we are talking about the high density areas, right? I'd like to know, do we have enough to particularly to cater for a mass spread in high density areas, number one? But also, for example, where you find these facilities, these isolation facilities, how many beds? And when we talk about isolation, how is it properly isolated? Because we've heard stories of people, you put them, there was a gentleman who went to Limpopo, you just heard about it in the news, and ended up infecting more people. So, let's talk a little bit about that in more detail.
The beds for the isolation and the beds for the quarantine, some of those might be clumped together. Just making an example, I test positive, and then I'm staying with my two kids and my cousin, and I'm not symptomatic. So it means that if they are already staying with me and they've been exposed, it's likelihood that when they have to be quarantined and isolated, we can be clumped together. But where I have to exercise the issue of the hygiene and mask and so forth. So you might have an isolation where it becomes a family. Because remember, some of these cases, they are not necessarily presenting with symptoms. They are as healthy, some of them, they are still even working in terms of a tele video or virtual working. So they are busy. And also the issue that we have raised, there are also beds, hospital beds specifically needed for in case of the high care or the ICU, which the team has worked with the private health, because we are combining now all beds. So at the end, it affects all of us, could be able to do that. And then lastly, you asked a question in terms of that. We find the last time I checked, the team did indicate that already they've identified 17 of those for such, which is by later today, we can be able to do the actual figures about how many beds. I'm talking about now the isolation. I'm not talking about the ICU beds, which is goes up more than 6,000 or so in healthcare. Yes.
So you say 17 facilities where people will be able to, where they'll be isolated. So I'm just listening to you, and I just want to get some clarity here. So number one, the hospital, right, is the one space you can go. And if you need critical care, you need to go to ICU. If someone does not show any symptoms, but they've come into contact with someone, that isolation needs to take place at home where possible. And then you've identified 17 other facilities where you'll have a couple of beds clumped together, I understand it, where people will also be isolated. Is that right?
Sorry, the 17 is not the isolation in terms of the number of the isolation. Sorry, the 17 is where people can go for the triage facilities.
Ah.
And also for the testing. In terms of the isolation areas, the team is still working around that because we have to take it into consideration in terms of the, there are many cases in the Garden Route, in the different municipalities. So one might be probably better be isolated in their own area. Whereas, for example, in the Khayelitsha area, even if you do get, let's say, a B&B that is available, it might not be suitable for the person to be isolated in the same area. Might have to be outside the metro, where because there's still some of the issues related to the stigma. And then for that part of that, we are working with the Department of Public Works as the custodian of the assets and the buildings. And we have had received quite as many offers from the tourism industry for the people who want to use their accommodation. Mm. We have explored the Airbnb as well for such. So the team is busy with that. Okay. Currently, we don't have as many people who require isolation that is outside their current setting, because as I indicated earlier.
Right, so we don't have special facilities where people can go into isolation. That is being worked on. People will isolate at home when they don't show any symptoms. If it's more serious, they will go into hospital. Obviously, the concern with this is that if this starts growing even more exponentially than it is, especially in high-density areas, then those facilities would have to be available. There are also communities who then reject people who've been found to have COVID-19, which adds another dynamic here. So it is very important to find spaces where people can isolate outside of the home space.
Yes, but there are people who have been isolated. Let me just correct you. There are people who have been isolated outside their own space.
Okay.
And I've got a confirmation for today that 50 of those who have been isolated, even they've been discharged. So these are outside their own spaces.
But that's not... So what type of spaces are we talking
generally,
about?
Yes, no, what I'm saying is that not necessarily in the Cape Flats or the township. I'm talking about generally from the previous cases.
Okay. Now, how does one actually decide whether someone can self-isolate at home and when someone must go into quarantine? How do you make that distinction?
Within 2 days after we receive a lab confirmation from the NICD, because what happens, the private labs take the test and do the test, and then we get the prelim results, whilst the same test has to go to the NICD, the National Institute of Communicable Disease, at the national level for the vetting and the confirmation. Within the 2 days, because the person gets a tracer, contact tracer form, where she or he has to list all the contact names. Within the 2 days, our team gets activated. Once now we get that the person, someone is positive. And then you get contacted by the contact tracer response team, where they will ask you about some of the questions. By that time, you will have filled some of those forms if you know how to do it. Okay. So it's less than 24 hours once we know that you are positive. In the cases where you find that it's us who took the test, which is it went to the NHLS, not the three private labs, it becomes easier. Because our doctor immediately, the one who tested you, the one who consulted with you, will call you immediately, even before the contact tracer team has already came to you. But it is crucial that within 24 hours, but before you even get the results, you get informed that please isolate yourself until you get the clean bill in terms of the results. Because in most cases, people go there when they suspect, and they see that they meet the definition of a case that needs to be tested. So that is important.
Now, and I'm going to keep talking about the high-density cases, and it's not, and it's because obviously it's a concern to everybody, right? Social distancing is not. So out of the high, so we know five, what is the latest? So if we talk about high-density areas, what's the latest number? We heard that there was one person in Khayelitsha, five people in the Mitchells Plain area. What are the latest numbers, first and foremost?
We haven't released the stats yet because we want the national authority to release, because they normally have some of the cases that have been sent directly to them with one of the private lab. But the last time I checked, we had about 338, roughly. It's just a rough figure.
But that's in general, right? But not in high-density areas.
Yes, I'm coming to that.
Yeah. Okay.
If you recall, the Khayelitsha and the Mitchells Plain, it's quite recent. In the past, because the metro is divided into eight substructure, if I could put it like a region. In the southern and the western, that's where they have always had as many cases. And then later it was followed by Tigerberg, and then later by Klerksfontein. Yeah. Now, to answer your question, if you look in terms of the demarcation of the southern, it includes even the Masipumelele, the Lavender Hill. It's an old South Peninsula, the Lavender Hills and all of those, the Freyhond and all of those. So it does include the states in terms of the high-density areas.
Okay.
So the city has got now that data where they could be able to zoom, which previously that data used only to be the tracers. It's where the ones who would be having that data. And if you look in terms of the western, which has got the epicenter, it's a one that covers up to the Atlantis. The Vetsens and the Langa, all of those, they fall under the western. So it's not, and the Tigerberg includes the Elses as well. And then the Klerksfontein is all the Kukuletu, Athlone, and all of those. My point, what I'm trying to make is that it's not only now we are receiving a case that involves such high-density.
Minister, what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask you if you would please. I'm worried. I'm worried because I've taken time to drive through Dunoon. I've taken time to drive through Joe Slova and a couple of informal settlements. People can't stay inside. Now, there are many reasons why, and we can judge them as to why they're not staying inside. But a lot of people are still walking outside. We also heard of a man in Gauteng who decided to go back to his home village in Limpopo and infected people there. We know that we've got a couple of cases in really high density areas. The doctor was saying to us the western region, which was all the way up Langa, sort of all the way through to Atlantis, Tigerberg, etc., that all forms part of the western region. And it is a worry for me when we look at people simply not abiding by the law or by the regulations for various reasons. And given that, Minister, this is the reason I've been asking about isolation facilities. And just to recap, if you've not listened to us before, I've been chatting to the Minister about self-isolation in particular. As far as I'm concerned, leaving people up to their own devices to stay at home doesn't cut it. I don't think it's enough, given what I've seen. Right, so I'm talking from first-hand experience here. My personal opinion is that we need to have separate official isolation units where people, you know, can self-isolate, continue with whatever it is that they do, and that is the first bit of clarity, Minister. I just like, we don't have those official self-isolation units yet, do we?
We do have self-isolation units that have been identified that the together with the Department of Public Works we are working at. And also, if you recall, the National Public Works Minister even made an announcement of the 16,000, which is three, which is, I think, Beaufort West, Saldanha, I can't remember where else, where was releasing the public facilities that can be used for the isolation.
I got you. Now,
and then currently, we do have the dedicated wards where people can use it for the self-isolation in our current hospital.
Okay, so what is that capacity? What are we talking about here, numbers wise? If one takes, so I would imagine some of that will still come on stream because some places have been identified. Those places still have to be converted. I know the Premier was saying they're looking at various spaces where facilities can be put in place where people can self isolate. But what is currently online on stream in terms of numbers of beds and spaces where people can self-isolate under the control of government, per se?
I share your concern you raise about it. It's impossible for some of the communities to do the self-isolation. Mm. But also, as health, we have to balance because the part, once we want people to isolate, self-isolate, but it needs the role of the other sectors.
Okay.
To play the role, because we won't be able, like you might say that this is their area, and then for us on a daily basis, we will come and we'll contact the person. Mm. But the public works, the social development and all of those have to play a role, because those people, they are not necessarily sick.
Okay.
Now, when I'm talking about the balance, it's about we have to also look in terms of the beds, where people will end up also getting sick, some of them, whether it's a minor or but most cases the respiratory problems where they will need a bed and oxygen, where, for example, we've identified some of the public, the Good Hope Center, CTICC, as a possibility just to use them as a bed and oxygen.
Okay.
Plus, also, you will use, lastly, those who might need the ICU, which we have seen also in other parts of the world where people might need the ventilators and all of those. So for us, we have to balance in terms of the preventive and promotive for the isolation, plus also the acute bed care for those who might need general care, and also those who might need the ICU care.
Are any of the self-isolation, so I'm talking about what's been agreed between the city, National Minister Dalol, yourselves, are any of those up and running and ready to take people just yet?
Yes. For example, one of the cases that, like, for example, for the Khayelitsha case, has gone to the isolation. But also noting in the President's National Disaster Regulations, it does state clearly that the local government also has to take a responsibility. Actually, it's the part of, is a custodian of also of working with the provincial departments to isolate and provide services to those areas.
Now, I think my question really is, how much is currently on stream at the moment? How many, what's your capacity? If you take all of that into account, whether we're talking province, whether we're talking city, whether we're talking about co-agreements and spaces that are now available for people to go to, just give me an estimate as to how many is available.
I don't know the numbers, but currently with the number of cases we have and the needs related to the isolation, we are still doing fine. But what the challenge that we'll have, it goes back to your previous question that for one person who can be able to say you can accommodate for self-isolation, but what if the direct contacts, the close contacts are more than 10? Because we know of the households where there are 20 of you. So how will we be able, that 20, to contain them? Because you know that they'll all be going to the same tap, to the same toilet,
the whole community. This is so why I'm frustrated.
That's a quarantine part of it, because it's easier to isolate a positive patient, because you can put that person even in an isolated ward in a hospital. But the challenge will be when you have now the quarantine, the 14 days, specifically for those who might present with the symptoms among the close contacts of a positive case.
Okay.
That's a challenge.
Okay, so we basically still getting official isolation units up to stream, and not just self-isolation units. We're still busy working on the more acute side of things as well. So this is still a work in progress. Do we know, the one thing that concerns me is how quickly this thing spreads, right? And I know you say if people don't show symptoms, Minister, that, you know, they can self-isolate, but you can still pass COVID-19 when you don't show symptoms. So if you're passing that to a vulnerable person who meets five other vulnerable people in a poor community, you know, I'm worried that this country will be caught with its pants down. Excuse the phrase that I used. I think that if we don't, it's going to happen.
No, I agree with you. I agree with you that there will be a time where we'll find that we, as health response, where probably we can only focus on the people that need care in terms of coming for needing like a ventilator, oxygen, and so forth. Where now the other sectors have to play a major role. Because, for example, now we are still dancing in their other spaces in terms of looking for the quarantine areas and all of those. And yet it should be the whole of society and the whole of the government. Like now, the team, they are still busy now. Like the question you ask, how many beds, how many ICU beds?
Yes.
How many way are we having all of those? You have got enough protective clothing for the staff. This is what they are working at.
Okay.
Which is very, very crucial.
So I spoke to Dr. Anban Pillay, who you obviously know very well, the acting national DG, and I said, how many ventilators are there in the country? He says to me, 2,700, which is a bit. That is scary, number one. How many of those are actually in the Western Cape?
But remember, he's mentioning probably the in the public health spaces.
Yeah.
For us, we have got a good relationship with the private, where we combined almost everything up to the level that the one hospital group also wrote to me, indicating that with no cost, we can utilize their spaces. So when now that's what the team is doing now, when they calculate in terms of the needs throughout for each and every equipment, including the, we've got five bigger groups, for example, hospital groups in the Western Cape. Last time I checked, when they're counting the beds, they were around about 6,000 or more. I'm talking about the necessary beds for that. Of course, There will be, as I indicated earlier, we identify also like the CTICC, the Good Hope, or other facilities where they could just be made for a bed and also an oxygen. For that one, where it might not necessarily be a ventilator per se, but the oxygen, they still have to calculate in terms of what would be the needs and all of those. But what I'm aware that by this afternoon, we will know in terms of what are the additional five facilities beyond the hospital facilities for the beds.
And final one, Minister, I know this has been going on, but it's important, and I think it's important to get the message across. Out of the people in the high-density areas, and let me be more specific about that, out of the people that were mentioned in Mitchell's Plain and Khayelitsha, how many of the people that they were in contact with have been traced? Do we know if everybody's been traced?
Yes, we get the daily updates. The tracing team works in the morning until the 10 p.m. The immediate contacts, which is the people that the positive cases reside with or would have been in less than 1 meter proximity almost on a daily basis. Those ones are the first ones that have been traced. In most instances, these are the ones that when the positive case isolates, they will normally isolate with them.
Sure.
That one has been done. So we've got the numbers. And remember, it's a target, it's a moving target. It might be my daughter, who's my close contact, who say that, within that 4 days at school, for example, or if the school was open, at a rest, I was with XYZ, and then you add those ones. So for that part of it, that has been done. But remember, as you indicated, in these areas, you might have people that where you might have shared a washing line with, or when you were sharing the tap something like that. So those ones will find that it's the next layer that still needs to be traced, but at least the immediate ones are already being traced.
And what is that number?
No, I don't have the number in details with me, but
You were aware?
No, what I'm saying that what I'm aware of is a Khayelitsha one, because I was more intimate with it as of yesterday, where I know that the immediate contact for the positive one, there were the children, there were two, and then there were the other contacts that are not necessarily immediate, but they will have been contact with, which is the parents and so forth, plus the others. There are about five. Again, one has to still explore more.
No, absolutely. And they use things like cell phone tracing, I would imagine, to help get hold of people as well, don't they?
Yes, you do both, not necessarily for the GPS thing, but in terms of making calls and so forth. But ideally, remember, this is some of the people get shocked. They think that when they're being contacted, they thought, I'm positive. So that's why you need that physical engagement to explain to the person.
Well, Dr. Noma French and Bombo, thank you very much. But by the way, you still didn't tell me how many ventilators we have in the Western
Cape. I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know. I'm not at that level of the politician just make up the numbers.
Okay, no, that's fair enough. I think what we'll do is we can have a follow-up chat about some of the more specific numbers and readiness. And I also think we must be very careful not to drive too much fear into people, and we all need to be level-headed about this as well. And government seems to be doing a sterling job up until this point, but I'd feel even more comfortable once I know the numbers related to some of the things that we've discussed. But Dr. Noma French and Bomba, thank you for your time.
Thank you very much. Take
care. Have a wonderful day. The Western Cape.